Okay, shorter message tonight. That's how it is. That's how it is. Put this away. Stand up for Jesus. Can you do it in pain and suffering? Even if, say, you can't stand up because you got run over or something, or you've got a disease, of course you can. You could stand up for Jesus. Let's look what that means. Job 19. Pain and perspectives, we'll call it. Now, Job is pretty excited about seeing somebody, isn't he? In verse 25. In suffering and pain. You know the story of Job and what he goes through. Oh, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I will see my Redeemer. Okay, I'm sometimes asked, well, I'm sure we all are as Christians, why does God allow suffering? What's his name? Stephen Fry. Why does God make parasites? What kind of God makes parasites and allows suffering? The answer is, according to the Bible, we did. We're the kind of God, small g, that brought suffering into the world. Here's the real question. What kind of God dived into the heart of the fall and restored it and promises yet even more to restore it? The answer is, he did. When, Ogmovale, did we stop focusing on Christ in our suffering and hard days? Why isn't he enough? Tonight's message is about dwelling on Jesus, which is supposed to be every message, and I pray that it is. But particularly, if I can say that, oh, to dwell on the Lord and to fire you up about him for when you suffer. He's the kind of God that's promised to end it. Now, lots of people handle suffering differently. Cicero, the old classical author. Have you heard of Cicero? Yeah, we nod. He said this. Listen to this. Philosophy both allows and requires one to become one's own spiritual physician. What? Okay, in other words, according to Cicero, people who suffer or have a hard time will reason to themselves and come up with their own philosophy as to why it happens. Yeah? Why is this happening to me? And Cicero says, well, philosophy, the way you think about why things are happening, you will become your own spiritual physician. A perspective in pain. In other words, you're all preachers. If your son or your daughter has a genetic dysfunction, you will preach something to yourself as to why that happened. If you lose your job, if you fall in some way, if you cry about something or you're confused or anxious, you will preach something to yourself as to why it happens. Everybody does that in the church and outside of the church. And you will shape yourself according to your philosophy, according to Cicero. Okay? And now, in the world, what you'll find is they often preach the message, which is this: I'm not going to think about it. I'm just going to get drunk, or I just won't think about it. Don't ever talk to me about death, the end of suffering. No thanks. That's preaching to yourself as well, isn't it? So Cicero's even right about the people who claim they just don't want to think about it. They've shaped themselves by that gospel. Yep. It doesn't involve God. I don't care about God. That's a gospel. Now, the Greeks did it. The Stoics did it. The Buddhists do it. We all have reasons for suffering that we can talk about why it happens. Now, let's take a trip down history lane. When Christianity spread in those early days of the church, the New Testament church, it started to make sense of why suffering was happening. And it started to make sense of why suffering was happening in a way which was better than the Greeks and the Romans were trying to explain why suffering happens. They started to say, the Christians who suffered, you can have a hope in suffering. Now, there's an early historian called Cyprian, and he said this, he wrote this, during the widespread plagues, which took the early church and the Eastern world there by storm, plagues, he said, Christians didn't abandon the sick and leave the cities like a lot of the pagans did. The Christians faced death with calmness and they stayed with loved ones. Now, just after him, a little chappie called Ignatius was around, and Polycarp, who we've talked on before in this church, they wrote that when Christians were tortured to death, they faced death with a peculiar poise of calmness. They died well. Ambrose then, one of the early church fathers, and Augustine, you're reading him at the moment, they said, forget Greek philosophy. Just look at how the Christians die. They've got a hope in suffering. Just look at them. And then you get that old mantra, which is somewhat abused and probably lost among today's Christians. Well, Augustine would say, they died better than non-Christians. I think something of that is lost today. In other words, back then, pain and suffering weren't reasons to doubt the faith. They were being used as means to prove the faith. Look at us in pain and suffering. That's a trip down history lane. Okay? Now, my question. How did they die better? How did they suffer better? Maybe you're suffering, you're not doing a good job of suffering, if I could put it as bluntly as that. How did they do it better so people would notice them? Well, the answer is, like Job, they believed that their Redeemer lives. They believed it. You remember the story of Polycarp. I'm not going to go into it. We'll do it one day again. He really believed that Jesus lived and that one day Jesus will stand again on the earth and he will see him with his flesh. Job believed it too. Do you? What was the hope? Well, it's here in Job. Job is talking about, and he gets through his hard time because of this. He will see his Redeemer again physically. Physically. My friends, the church, the believers, are heading to a physical restoration and a physical peace. That's what Job was looking forward to. Now, forget the Greeks and the Gnostics and people who say we're just intellects which are going to float up to some intellectual cloud nine. Now, Job says, I will see my Redeemer. I will see him, and he loved it. Physical. We don't major on this enough in our circles. Physical, unhindered pleasure and joy with the Lord and his people. Paradise. Paradise lost, but paradise gained by the Lord Jesus Christ. Can we use the term, put that in your pipe and smoke it when you suffer? Dwell on that. I probably shouldn't have said that term, should I? John knew what he was on about when he was surrounded by Greek philosophy. Remember John 1 verse 1. Was John 1 verse 1? You know it, don't you? In the beginning was the Word. So the Greeks, ooh, that's interesting because we believe in there must be a cause. There must be order. The Greeks were about order. Oh, we like that. In the beginning, there was this logos, this structure, this mind. Okay, John, tell me more. Okay, John says, I will. And he carries on writing the first chapter in verse 14. And the logos became flesh. And I just picture the Greeks, my mind's going a bit. What? And they put John down. He's a nutcase. What are you talking about, John? The Word became flesh. Yeah, and John says, and he's the carpenter who's Jesus, by the way. Well, the Greeks, they forget them. No way. But us, we believe that, don't we? We are evangelicals. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as full of the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth, in the flesh. Job says, I'm going to see him with my eyes one day. Christian, you will too. And because of Christ's flesh, we believers, I don't care if you've got a dodgy back, a dodgy brain, a dodgy life of pain in some way, you will one day rise above that in your flesh and stand on the earth with Jesus. Because of his bodily resurrection, you will rise again too. We don't believe it enough. And then when the plague comes and the pain comes, we cry, but we don't lose hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. I do not want you to be ignorant, brothers, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. But we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Calvary, you must not cry as if there's no hope. You must remember the physical restoration that's coming our way, bought by the resurrection of the God-man, Jesus Christ. What a message for people who are in pain or seeing loved ones who are believers in pain. You don't have to say you're going to float away to some ethereal cloud as a wonderful intellect. You can say it will pass and paradise is coming. And I will be there with you, because the Lord Jesus bought that for us on the cross. Focus, Calvary, on what's coming. Focus on what is coming. Job did. Solid joys and lasting treasure, none but Zion's children know. Dare I say, some of our problems are that we suffer because we love the world too much and we can't seem to rise above it. And when someone comes and snatches one of our idols away, income, girlfriend, good looks, good health, like, the world at the moment can't seem to think there's anything more important than good health. And you just devalue someone and put them to the side who hasn't got good health. Rubbish! We love that stuff too much. But the Logos becomes flesh, and we're to focus on him and our physical restoration and our current physical enjoyments we see in him. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I've got a body to honor the Lord. So let's redress any sinful imbalance where we just look at stuff. And then you totally fall apart and jack in the faith if you suffer because your idol was health. And you can't imagine of a higher pleasure. There is a higher pleasure. It's Jesus. C.S. Lewis said, aim at heaven, you'll get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you'll get neither. Let's dwell on him for the second half of this message. He is the hope. He is the gospel. And suffering, even if it leads you to death, can only chase you up to him. Do you believe that? If you see your loved ones fall apart, if I see my children fall apart, I pray that they'll be saved. And I can rest knowing it's just chased them up to him. Do you believe that? Is that enough for you? This isn't conjuring up a Greek philosophy. This is outside of us. This is the rock. Do you look upwards enough? My loved ones will one day be physically enjoying paradise with King Jesus. Here he is again. I know that my Redeemer is. He'll stand at last on the earth. After my skin is destroyed, I'm going to get new skin. And this I know, that in my flesh, I shall see him. I shall see him. Romans 8, what's the goal of fallen nature? It's waiting to be restored. Even trees trust Jesus. Trees can do it. He's got to restore this fallen earth, the physical earth. We should, if the trees do. Pause there. I wonder if it's really important here to think of sin in that light. Now, sin is an act of destruction, isn't it? When we choose to sin in suffering, it's basically us aligning ourselves with the kingdom of darkness, which doesn't have any hope of physical restoration. That's not its aim. That was Satan's never aim. No unity, no restoration. Just destruction. Separation. Hell is physical torment and breakdown of society and all things physical and spiritual. Choose life when you're tempted to self-pity in your pain. Dwell on life. Dwell on this. Physically and spiritually, Jesus bore the wrath of the Father for the sins of the church. He took out the sting of death by having it strike him. He drank the whole cup of the wrath of God for the fall, for his church. And now we read, in suffering, in pain, in good days and bad, now there is therefore no condemnation. Just coming glory. Total unity. Don't choose sin. Choose life. Charles Spurgeon said of Jesus on the cross, no tongue can tell of what he went through. To die alone, attended by black demons, to hear the hissing of friends, to see snakes coiling beneath your feet and dragons howling, to have a body swollen physically by torment, no relaxation, no mitigation of the stress until the work is done. He is with us in suffering. You weren't with him. Well, actually, we were with him. We were there, weren't we? Heckling, crucifying, 20 years. I said, crucify, and I chose the kingdom of darkness. How long was your story in darkness? Are you still in darkness? We were there. But now he's with us, and he's taken the sting away. And we have favor and the smile of the Father. Believers, look at the cross. More than you do. Good comes from horror. And it totally obliterates the idea that if you're having a pain-free life, God loves you in some special way. The cross teaches us he chastens those he loves. And crowning glory comes from those who suffer. That's the message of the cross. Some call it foolishness. We say, hallelujah, what a savior. You know, if I could put it as simply as this, you're going to get a better body than the one you've got here if you're in Christ. You're going to get your lives back. Better lives than you ever had here. I urge you, pass from death to life now and see what a God-centered life will do to your suffering here on earth. Purpose, trust, peace. You won't have hope in suffering until you have his suffering accounted for you first. That's the order. Stop playing with church. Let the work of Christ be accounted for you and then have peace. Someone said there's a big difference between having a rational belief in honey and believing it's sweet. Big difference to actually tasting its sweetness. And I pray we'll have such a vision of God that we will say, Lord, If it takes pain for us to taste and see that you're good, like with Job, okay, Lord, okay. Ogmore Vale, let's join in the song of the universe. It goes like this. It was sung before the world. It was sung during the world. It's sung at the end of the world. It's being sung in glory now. It's worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy the Lamb who was slain. Matthew 27:42, remember Jesus in the height of his suffering, and his accuser said, "Come now, save yourself. Go on then. Look, you're suffering. Stop your suffering. You could call on legions of angels." What was the answer? "No, I can't stop suffering. It's Owen Batstone or it's me. It's Calvary Church or it's me. I choose me. I will become death. I want them to live, and I want them to have a hope in suffering, and I want them to see my resurrection, and I want them to dwell on it, that one day it's coming. It's coming. Let that be their hope in a tough day. Let his peace reign in your hearts." The cross and the resurrection shows for us tonight that God is wise. Even in horror, he's wise. It shows he's for you, believer. It shows victory can be yours. Forget floating. Think of Christ this week. And repent and hate any of those devilish sins which lead to death. And let's embrace him more. For his name's sake. Amen.